Good morning, class.
Good morning, Brother Keith.
Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School's the place where my spirit is fed, where my faith grows stronger, and where I learn how to be an overcomer. There's much to learn about living by faith, walking by faith, which is to say, there's much to learn about being an overcomer. There's much to learn about how to please God every day and every night. There's much to learn about how to receive, how to lay hold and appropriate and receive and experience all that grace has so freely and wonderfully given. It depends on what you hear and what you're around, the environment and what you're feeding on spiritually and mentally makes a giant difference in how you see things and how you think. And that's why the scripture says in Romans 10:17, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, or by the anointed word. If you look at the previous verses, he's talking about the gospel, the good news. If you're always hearing bad news, that can actually, if you listen to it and you accept it and let it in your mind and your heart, it can rob you of your faith. It can rob you of your hope and your vision. And so you want to cut that off. Shut that off. And you don't want to be around people that all they talk about is how bad it is. Mm-hmm. That's not good for you. Right. You want to be around, and that's why you want to be a part of a good church, and you want to have good believer friends, and not just people that believe in God, but people that are growing and developing and pursuing his plan for their life. And if you're doing that, you're having some victories.
Amen.
You're having some testimonies, right? There are some good things to talk about. And so if that has not been the case with you, well, we are so glad that you're joining us today. We saved you a seat right here. You see how close I am? You know, I'm to check you out, make sure you get it. May pat you on the head or something, you know. Sometimes people say, well, you know, we're coming into your living room or whatever by TV. No, we want you to come in here with us and tune everything else out for these next few minutes and let God minister his wonderful faith. Hallelujah,
hallelujah,
to you.
Yes.
Father, all of us agree together as touching this, asking you for the anointing, for the working of your Holy Spirit, for the answers and direction and help for right now and for what's to come. Give us utterance and ears and hearts that can discern and eyes that can see it and answers for now, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
We have been for the last number of weeks here in Faith School on a series that we're calling Faith for Provision. You need faith in every area of life, and yet faith must be developed in each area. It's possible to have strong faith in one area and no faith at all in another area. And that's because the faith over here had been fed and exercised, but over here not fed at all and not used. So if you go back, you know, if you go to faithschool.org, you'll find hundreds of faith lessons that we've already gone over leading up to where we are now. And we talked about why we should have faith. We talked about what faith is, how it comes, how it grows, how it develops, what it means to be an overcomer. We talked about faith for healing. We stayed on that for weeks and weeks and weeks. And we talked about how to overcome unbelief. There's any number of things to talk about there. And so we've been camping on different areas, feeding our faith in that area. And for now, for several weeks, we've been feeding our faith on faith for provision. In this life, you need some stuff, right? Every day, you need food to eat, you need clothes to wear, you need a place to stay. You need a way to get around, and that's just some of the most basic. If you're going to have a family, you need more. If you're going to have a church and a ministry or a business, you need more, right? Yes, does God want you to have it?
Yes.
Is the question. You hear how quick these guys answer to quick? That's because we've been on this for a while now, and that's exactly why we're doing it. So you don't have to think about the answer to that question. It just comes right up out of your spirit because you know.
Yes, sir.
But many church-going people, they don't know this. They have been taught other things. And there are a lot of, you know, saved people, church-going people, but they believe that God uses poverty and lack as an instrument to teach and to develop. And so it may not be God's will for you to have all your needs met. It may be His will for you to go through times of lack and poverty. And there are people that teach that God is a minimalist God. He doesn't like anything that's more than necessary. Well, all you got to do is look at creation to know that's not true, right? I mean, look at the variety. And you got also got to remember, all the creation is in a fallen state. In its original condition, it was much more beautiful and perfect than it is now. But even now, in its fallen state, how many different colors, right, of birds, of fish, of flowers, of trees. If God is like some people imply that He is, there'd only be three shades, light gray, medium gray, and dark gray, right? But no, God is the God of life. And life is vibrant. Hallelujah. And life is many-sided, many-splendored, many-faceted. There just is no end to the beauty, the creativity, the abundance and goodness of our Creator, Father God. Do you believe it, class?
Yes.
Well, then a God like that, how would He take pleasure in me struggling, not being able to pay my bills, not being able to eat or feed our families or the people that are working with us or that kind of thing? How can that be? And we've come to be fully persuaded it is not His will for us to hurt and be in lack. And what we've begun doing is one by one giving 30 reasons from the Scriptures why we are sure. Did you hear that word, sure?
Yes.
We are sure abundant provision is always God's will for us all. Why don't you say that out loud and see how it feels to you. Say, abundant provision is always God's will
for us all.
Abundant provision
is always
God's will
for me.
True or not?
Yes.
Huh? Well, then what about today?
Yes.
This week?
Yes.
This month? Is it His will that all your bills be paid?
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
All needs met, all bills paid, all projects completed,
yes.
All debts and obligations paid,
yes.
Paid off?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Well, go ahead and say it. Say, I call every bill paid.
I call every need met.
In Jesus' name.
See,
there are many scriptures that tell us this. Philippians 4:19 is a favorite of many people. It says, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You don't have to see where it come from because He's got resources you never imagined or thought of. And He'll come by it honestly. It won't be a problem. And He supplies all. Somebody say all my needs. Thank you, Lord. Well, if you haven't been with us, like I said, go to faithschool.org and get these previous lessons. We have already covered 16 of these in our study of 30. And I'll review just a little bit. Our very first one was from Psalm 23, Psalm 23, 1. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd." What's the rest of it?
I shall not want.
Now that word want is in the same King James Bible translated lack or need. And so other translations say it that way. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd." One says, "I do not lack." "The Lord is my shepherd. I am never in need." Another one says, "The Lord is my shepherd. He gives me everything I need." Another one says, "The Lord takes care of me as his sheep. I will not be without any good thing." Another one says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I will always have everything I need."
Yes.
True?
True.
Well, what church-going person doesn't like the 23rd Psalm, right? And so how do you get poverty out of that? "The Lord is my shepherd." Sometimes I go for months at a time and in a terrible lack. That's a contradiction to what he just said, right? And so that was number one. Number two, we talked about the goodness of God. Number three, the fatherhood of God. Number four, the creation of God. Number five, God's will in heaven. You know, Jesus taught us to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done, what? In earth, how? As it is in heaven. God doesn't have two separate wills, one for heaven and one for earth. And how much lack do they have in heaven? How many people are starving in heaven? Well, then it's not his will on the earth either. Number six reason was the God of Abraham. Number seven, we are the seed of Abraham. Number eight, the blessing of tithing. The Lord didn't tell you, tithe and honor the Lord with your tithes and first fruits and you'd go broke. He said he would open the windows of heaven. He would pour out blessing on you until you didn't have room to receive it. And he would rebuke the devourer. For your sake, does that sound like being broke and not having enough? No, see, this being broke and somehow associating it with holiness and being sanctified and being godly, that is a thing that men have come up with. It is not what God has revealed that he wants. God is a good father.
Yes. Yes.
And he cares about his kids.
Yes.
And he wants us to do well.
Yes.
Now, he doesn't want us to love money or love stuff. And he doesn't want us to be preoccupied with it and not have any time for him. And his things, priorities are the big deal. But he said, if you'd seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, Jesus said, all these things, and he's talking about what you wear, what you eat, where you stay, all these things would be added to you. He wants you to have them. We talked about number nine, honor and riches. The Lord said if you'd honor him, he would honor you. We looked at wisdom and wealth. He said if you'd be wise, you'd prosper. You would increase. He told us the 11th one, he said to be imitators of him. Well, he doesn't practice poverty. he didn't live poorly. The 12th one, we talked about him being the great I am and how he revealed himself. And then the next one were all his names. He has revealed himself through numerous names, among them El Shaddai, Jehovah Jireh. We never found an El Cheapo, right? There was not anything that could fit in that category. It was always plenty, more than enough. He's the God of restoration. We saw that even if you've been hard-headed, even if you've lost everything you had and you're in bad, bad condition or shape, if you'll repent, if you'll come back to the Lord and listen to him and do things his way, he will restore you. He will actually make you better off than you were before. Oh, he's such a good God. Huh? But you got to listen to him. And we looked at his provision in the wilderness with his people Israel when he brought them out of Egyptian bondage. That was number 15. And we saw that God can and will provide for you in any circumstances. He fed them. He took care of them. He sustained them for 40 years in the bleakest, most desolate desert. There was no food there. There was no water there. How can you live out there? You can't unless God, right, provides. So do not listen to the lies of the enemy that I can't prosper where I am. No, our town is in such bad shape, or our country is in such bad shape. Our leaders are so bad. This is so bad. My company is in such bad shape. My neighborhood's in such bad shape. If you believe that, you're stuck, and you have limited God where you're concerned. But if you'll believe God is big, He can meet you anywhere, right? It doesn't matter how dark or how bad a place is. In fact, the light shines the brightest in the darkest places, right? And God wants you to be a witness right in the middle of some of that stuff, that people see what God did for you, and it's a light. It's a testimony. It's a witness. Said out loud, my good God, can and will provide for me now.
Now,
here,
today,
where I am,
right now,
He is well able. Then our last point, our 16th point, we talked about the promised land. God didn't intend for them to stay in the desert for much of a length of time. He had a place picked out for them, the land that flowed with milk and honey, the pleasant land, the good land. He said it's a land where you will not lack anything in it. He said there will be cities you didn't build, houses you didn't build, full of all good things, and wells you didn't dig, and vineyards and orchards you didn't plant. And he goes on and on. You got to remember, these folks just a few weeks ago were slaves, right?
Yes, sir.
Well, I mean, by the time they're going in, it had been years. But to go from having nothing and actually being somebody else's property to having your own land, your own house, right? Your own vineyards and orchards. Is that the kind of God we still serve today? The Bible said He takes people from the dunghill, from the garbage heap, and sits them with princes. Hallelujah. Can He bring you up?
Yes.
How far can He bring you up? Oh, He's a big God. Is that right? He can just keep bringing you up, bringing you up, bringing you up. As long as it doesn't go to your head and you get all snooty and all like that. But He can bring you up. So we're down to number 17 in our study today. We are sure abundant provision is always God's will for us all because of the covenant blessing. The covenant blessing. Go with me to Deuteronomy, if you would, the 8th chapter. And let's begin to look at this great truth. Deuteronomy and 18. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He that gives you power to get wealth, to get ability to get it, that He may establish His covenant, which He swore to your fathers as it is this day. Ability, power, to get wealth, to get good. Now, you know, there's a lot of people, even church-going people, if you said that and they didn't know it was Scripture, they wouldn't like it. Mm-hmm. They're like, wealth? No, God's not into all that. I didn't write this. This was here a long time before I ever came along. And this is God. This is how He thinks. This is who He is. I mean, if poverty really pleased Him, it would read differently. It was, you remember the Lord your God. He's the one that works to make you poor. He brings you to naught and to poverty and to lack to establish His covenant, to work out His will and His plan. No, it's wealth. It's good things. It's abundance. It's plenty. But notice the purpose of it. And the reason behind it is to establish His covenant. Everybody say covenant.
Covenant.
To establish his covenant. And so you see, reading the scriptures, and this is true, Old and New Testaments. God is a covenant God. He was this way before there was an earth, before human beings existed. This is how he is. A covenant is a written agreement. We might use the word contract between at least two parties that is a solemn commitment with promises and commitments and repercussions if you break the covenant. It is one of the most serious things that exist. And in life, with the enemy around and all the interruptions, all the confusion, all the temptations, you need something solid that'll hold you.
Yes.
You need an anchor
mm-hmm.
to your soul.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. In the midst of all of the rising of falling of waves of tumult. And God has given us that.
Mm-hmm.
He made covenant with Noah after the flood. And you can imagine, after the flood, if you heard it thunder, right, you would be like, oh no. We're laughing, but if you had gone through the flood like Noah and his family did, it would be easy to be terrified of a rainstorm. And so God made a covenant with Noah and his descendants, and he put his bow in the sky that we can still see today, the rainbow. And he told him that never again would the earth be and its inhabitants be destroyed by a flood like that. And so that gave them comfort, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he made covenant with Abraham. And you might say, well, yeah, but you know, that's been a long time ago. What's that got to do with us? Glad you asked. There are numerous scriptures in the New Testament that tell us we have a direct connection with these covenants.
Hallelujah.
One thing that we need to understand, people call the first part of the Bible the Old Testament. And of course, that's a name that men gave it. There is no such thing as an old, out-of-date Word of God.
Right.
Amen.
Class, are y'all with me?
Yes.
This is really important. Many people look at the Old Testament, as they call it, as a secondary Word of God.
Yeah.
And you have a lot of church-going people, they haven't even read it.
Mm-hmm.
They don't really know what's there. And they think, well, it's just a bunch of sacrifices and ceremonies and thank God, you know, we've been delivered from all that. No, that's being disrespectful. There's so much more there. If Jesus hadn't come and fulfilled all the prophecies concerning the sacrifices, we should still be doing those sacrifices. But he has fulfilled that part. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
He has once and forever and for all given the sacrifice for sin.
Amen.
There is no more sacrifice for sin. Oh, somebody say hallelujah.
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 Thank you, Master. And the reason that the Lord had them implement all the animal sacrifices was because the Christ had not come yet. And the blood of animals, innocent animals, would cover their sins until another year came by and they would do it again, showing it hadn't been fixed. This was a temporary measure for God to be able to to bless them in spite of their mistakes and that kind of thing. Oh, but the Bible said in the fullness of times,
Amen.
Jesus came. Hallelujah. Born of a woman, born of a virgin, holy blood, and he offered up himself as the complete and total sacrifice for sin forever. It's why you and I can be made righteous. It's why we can go to heaven. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It's why we can pray and come before the throne of mercy and grace and be heard. Oh, somebody say, thank you, Lord,
thank you, Lord,
for the precious blood of the spotless Lamb of God. Now, the reason we're talking about this specifically is because our new covenant with God is sealed with that blood.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
These covenants are blood covenants. And the life is in the blood. And there's something very, very special about blood. And life is the component. And God made a blood covenant with different ones in the Old Testament, and he made a blood covenant with Israel. And that's what we're about to talk about. And just like the covenant he made with Abraham affects us, if you read Galatians, if you read other places in the New Testament, it says that Abraham's blessing belongs to us now because of our faith in Jesus Christ. Well, if you believe that, you should be excited. You should be saying, hey, I need to find out what this covenant is. Is there, what did I get? You know, right? I mean, it's like Christmas morning times a million. So this is what we are introducing today, and our time's already up again. So you're going to need to come back tomorrow. But say it out loud. Lift your hands up and say it out loud. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
For making covenant,
with us
and sealing it,
with
the precious blood of the Lamb.
Teach us
about our covenant
with you.
We ask it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And so that has already begun, and that's going to continue all this week. So come back tomorrow. There's a lot more to see here at Faith School.
I've got the victory living inside.
Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today, but you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390.